2 Samuel chapter 9, we are going to start from verse 1.
And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?"
As we know, David promised Saul as well as Jonathan that I am going to take care of your family members when I will be a king. And now we learned last week, as well as we are going to learn today, many, many enemies were defeated, and now David is having peace. And so now he's thinking, how can I help Saul's family, Jonathan's family? So now he's asking one of his servants, "We want to know if there is anyone I can help." And he says he wants to bless them because God has already blessed him. Verse 2.
And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he."
Now here there is a servant of Saul. His name is Ziba, and some people pronounce Ziba. But his name is Ziba, and he was very faithful servant to Saul. And now he is taking care of Jonathan's son. It was not in his house, but he knew where the Jonathan's son is. So now Ziba is going to help King David to bring Jonathan's son. Verse 3.
And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar."
Okay, now here, when David came to know, there is one person, Jonathan's son, but he's lame in his both leg. Because when he was baby, and the lady who was taking care of, she was running from the enemies, and she fell, and the baby got crippled. And now in those days, they didn't have the advanced technology like today. So the baby's feet were completely broken. And now he is an older man. Not only that, he got married. Can you imagine nowadays, the handsome people cannot find a wife. But he's a lame. And because he's the grandson of the king, maybe somebody liked the boy. And he might be very loving person, so he got married. We saw there is a person who is preaching the gospel. He doesn't have hands, he doesn't have feet, only one finger looking toe he has. With that he can flip the Bible pages and things like that. And when he start preaching the word of God, somebody thought, "This is a good person, I'm going to help." And the lady got married to him. Now he has a couple of children also. So you can see, when you are a godly person or loving person, the people can attract you. And so that's the way this Jonathan's son got married and have a son. Verse 5.
And then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold thy servants."
David tells him, "Go and get him Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth." And he present to him, and then David asked him, "You are the Mephibosheth?" He said, "Yes, I am your servant." You can understand this king's son, our grandson, is a little bit afraid. Because in olden days, if they defeat the father of the king, then they will defeat kings, all the sons and all the grandsons, because they don't want later on those people finding the kingdom and try to make trouble. So now when he comes, he said, I'm your servant. And he introduced himself. Now, David gives him assurance. Please read the words 7.
And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually.
Now here David says, please don't be afraid. If you have fear in your heart that I'm going to do harm to you, I'm not going to do any harm. Because I promise your father Jonathan as well as your grandfather Saul. So I'm going to keep my word. There are so many people, they don't keep their word. They promise so many things, but when time comes, they change their word. But the David, nobody told him, nobody reminded him, but he himself was thinking, how can I help Saul's children or his grandchildren, of anybody will be there, I'm going to help them. And as you know, Saul had 4 sons. They don't say daughters were there, but they are already married. So there were 4 sons. 3 sons died the day Saul died in the battle. Now only 1 son was remaining, and he became a king. And he got 11 tribes, and David had only 1 tribe. We learn already in the last chapters. So now his son who was the king, he died. And his captain died. Now there is no one can fight with David for the kingdom. And so now his son, grandson actually, Saul's grandson, is a crippled man. But if somebody wants to make him a king, somebody has to help him. And by the namesake, they can make him a king. But when David called him, he said, don't be afraid. I'm going to show you the compassion, love, because God put it in my heart, and because of God's sake, I am going to help you. And not only help you, but I will allow you to come and sit at my table where my children and my family eats. So it is a great honor that somebody is a crippled person. There are some people, they are afraid in their family if there is somebody crippled person or disabled person. They don't want to other people to see that person. They always hide that person, or even they don't talk about that person. Even though they have some other children, they will talk about other children and they will not talk about their crippled child. But the David was not ashamed. He said, I am going to let you sit with my people. See, when Jesus Christ came, he did not come to see the righteous people, the smart people, or the handsome people. He said, I came to see the people who are lost, the people who are sinner, people who are sick and afflicted. Those are the people he was looking. The Sadducees and Pharisees, they were thinking, we are so righteous. He says, sick needs the doctor, not the people who are not sick. So I am coming to the people who are spiritually sick. If you're thinking you are smart, if you're thinking you are righteous, I did not come for you. I came for the poor and needy, and I came for the people who are really humble in their spirit. Not only that, Jesus told the people, if you're inviting somebody for dinner, don't invite the rich people, don't invite the rich friend. Invite the people who cannot invite you back to their house. Poor and needy and they don't have anything. Those are the people you bring to your table or bring to your house. But nowadays we are scared. We don't want homeless people coming to your house. There are so many cases we saw. There was a homeless man walking on the street and somebody gave him a ride and brought him to home and gave him food and everything. And that same person cut the people's neck and took their refrigerator, car and everything and walked away. So the point I'm making, nowadays people are afraid to entertain the strangers. Bible says you entertain the strangers because you don't know they might be angels. When I was in India, I helped everybody. I can find anybody on the street, bring them home, give them food, give them clothes, and tell them to stay in the service. Sometimes they will stay one time and then run away. Helped one person, kept him, and gave him the key of the house, gave him my bicycle. I didn't have the car at that time. Everything to him. But when we had the convention, and there was a crippled girl, and she had $20 in her wallet, and he took it. And the girl started looking. He said, I could not find $20. So I thought, this is the only person can take it. So I asked him, and he said no, but then I found out from his pocket. So the point I'm making, there are some crooked people. You can try to help them, but they are not going to be good people. Some people change, some people don't. But this Jonathan's son, he's a humble man. When David says, is this your name? He said, yes, I am your servant. Even though he's a king's grandson, but now they lost everything. But see what David is going to do. Please read the verse 8.
And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?
See what he's trying to say when he said, you are the Jonathan's son. Is this your name, Mephibosheth? So he said, yes. But he said, when you telling me to come and eat on your table, I am not worthy. He says, I'm like a dead dog. Sometimes people think themselves so low esteem. There, some people are highly educated, they look smart, they look handsome, they have everything going, but they do not understand that what God has blessed them. They're going to look down. You saw on TV, there is a parent kept the son for 30 years. He's not working. He's eating free food. And mother and father said, you know what? If you want to get an apartment outside, we can pay for your apartment. You can go out. And they start telling him, but he's not listening. And he's saying, I want to stay in here. And I don't want to go anywhere. And all the world, when they're watching this news, they might be thinking how cruel mother and father they are. They are trying to get rid of their son. He's not a cripple. He's a handsome man. He's a strong man. But why the mother and father wants to get rid of him? Do you know, in the nature tells you, you can see the eagles, they make their nest very high, high in the tree, and they put all the beautiful cotton and soft everything and make very beautiful, comfortable bed for the babies. And when the babies start growing and they start wings and they get strong, so they slowly they start taking the cotton out and all these things out and make thorns and thistles, so they don't feel comfortable. Still those eaglets, they don't want to go. They just move here and move there and feel uncomfortable. They don't go, even that they start putting some thorns there, bringing some more thorn and put it there so they will fly. They don't do then what they do. They take them and throw them out. When they throw them out, they start flying, and then before they could fall on the ground, they catch them on their wings. And slowly but surely, then they learn to fly. And so that's the nature. Sometimes when the mother and father tell the children, go and get a job or go and do something, and they think mother and father, they hate them or something. So now here we see this boy, even though he's handsome, he's healthy and everything, but he's not getting out of the house. And somebody says he doesn't have any girlfriend. Now, sometimes even though if you don't have a job, or if you're not having any income, but if you're handsome, the girl will fall in love with you. I saw one man, he was living in the basement, just like this man's story. He was living in the basement, and he fall in love with a girl who was working in the Sears or somewhere, and she was bringing money and everything, and this boy lives in the basement. But the mother and father of this boy, they start feeling ashamed, and they start saying, you know, you should be doing something. So now this boy, slowly but surely, he start feeling guilty. One day he said to grandmother, Grandma, I'm tired of living in the basement, and I'm committing sin, fall in love with that girl, she's taking care of me, but I cannot bring her to my house because this is not my house. So she said, what are you going to do? He said, tonight I'm going to kill myself. I'm tired of living. So the grandmother called me and said, Pastor Peter, this is my grandson's telephone number. He's going to do some harm himself. Could you call him? I said, Grandma, I cannot call him because I'm a stranger. When he hears my voice, he's going to hang up. So what do? You tell him he could call me. And so she gave him the number, and he calls me 2 a.m. in the morning. So I picked up the phone, and I talked to him, and he starts saying, this is my problem, and I'm going to kill myself tonight. What you have solution? I said, sir, any fool can die. Dying is very easy. You don't have to do anything to die. But if you want to live, you have to do something. I said, Jesus loves you. He's going to take away all your sin, all your frustration. You trust in him. And I'm going to pray for you. And once Jesus comes in your heart, the sin will go out and you will feel free and you will get a job and you'll get married and you will have all the blessings. And he said, okay, then what should I do? I said, pray with me. And he repeated the sinner's prayer and I prayed with him. And after prayer, he said, wow, I feel like some burden is lifted up. I feel good. I said, well, tell your grandma that what God has done. That man went out, got a job, same day. He got a job, and not only that, he got saved, baptized, got a three-piece suit and a Bible in his hand, and went to the grandma's house and knocking at the door. Grandma comes out. He said, Grandma. She said, who are you? He said, I'm your grandson. You should be born again, Grandma. So she called me. He said, what did you do to my son, my grandson? I thought he got killed or whatever. I said, what did I do? I just led him to Christ. He said, now he's telling me I must be born again. I said, Grandma, you're Methodist, and your baptism is not right. You should be baptized. So he is telling you right thing. So the point I'm making, Jesus changed that man. And so the point I was making, if your heart is good and people see something in you, then you can get a job, you can get a wife, you can have a family. The people like this guy, he doesn't want to get out. And I heard somebody call him and say, hey, we are going to give you a job. Now he has to be willing to work. If this many years he didn't work, you don't feel like working. But he can get a job, he should go to church, and he should change spiritually. Once you spiritually change, then all the blessing comes. Now, Jonathan's son, he might be thinking, I'm a cripple, got married, I have a child, but how I'm going to take care of this family because I lost everything. See what God is doing for Jonathan's son. Let's read the words.
Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants.
Can you imagine? Now the Ziba is the servant of the Saul. But Saul lost his kingdoms, he lost everything. Now the David is saying to Saul's grandson, you know what? I'm going to give you everything what your grandfather had. Means all the land and everything I'm going to give it to you. And this person, Ziba, is your grandfather's servant. He has 15 sons and 20 workers. So all of those people will work in the field. And you don't have to worry about food. You can come and eat in my table. But your family, your relatives, other people can have blessings. So he got all the king's land and all the king's servant start doing the work for him. So see how God does. God is so gracious to us. We have Christ who gave his life for us. So there is nothing impossible with God. People are thinking, oh, I don't have this, I don't have that. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19, what he says, my God will supply all your needs. When you say all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That means if you have Christ, you get all the what the Father has. And our Father is in heaven. He is a rich God. He created everything. So when you have the Father who is God, who is a king, who is a righteous, who has everything, you get everything. The word of God says when you are born again, child of God, you are the child of God. And when what God has, we can have. What Christ has, he has given to us. He says, Christ is your elder brother. So we have everything in Christ. Some people say, I don't have this, I don't have that. Sickness and disease and this and that. And sometimes they think it's impossible to get out of this problem. I tell these people, when you have Jesus, you'll have everything. One lady I went and she was lying down in the bed for 8 years. And she was skin and bone. But I told this lady, God is going to heal you. She said, you know, my husband left me because I am this kind of condition for 8 years. I said, your husband will come to know that you are healed. I prayed for her, and within 3 months when I went to visit her, I could not recognize her. I asked her, where is that lady who was weak and lying down in the bed? She said, that's me. And she said, if you would have come one day late, you would not be able to see me because my husband, he's sitting under the tree. He came to pick me up. I'm going to go. So what I'm trying to say, you had nothing, but now you have everything. Once you give your life to Jesus Christ, no sickness, no disease, no pain, no sorrow, everything comes. People are struggle without God. Sometimes I think, how these people do without God? Because when you don't have God, you are miserable. You need Jesus. Jesus supplies everything. Now this lame, crippled man got everything. Just like now he's a king. His grandfather's all the wealth he got without doing anything. Why? Because the grace of God. Verse 11.
Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons.
Now he says to the servant, Ziba, you don't have to worry about Saul's grandson. You can go and do farming work and everything. The rest of the money comes to feed his family, but I am going to take care of this son. Grandson, and he is going to eat with me with all my sons, king's family. And so Mephibosheth should be so happy and so joyful. Verse 12.
And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet.
Now, here is saying, all his life, he was sitting and eating with King David, but his legs were still lame, because in those days no medicine, no doctors, nothing. But this man had no problem, because as I said earlier, got a wife, got a child, got a family, got the king's palace to live and eat, and he was very happy. And that's the way the chapter finishes. And now we are going to go to the 2 Samuel chapter 10. It's a small chapter. Don't worry, we are going to finish it soon. 2 Samuel chapter 10, starting from verse 1.
And it came to pass after this, that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun his son reigned in his stead. Then said David, I'll show kindness unto Hanun the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon.
Here's another son. Now this is the son of Ammonites. The Ammonites people, as I told you last week, Lot had two daughters. And from these two daughters, he got two sons. One was Moabites and one was Ammonites. And so now, last week we learned Moabites were defeated, got killed and destroyed, and some of the people David kept, and they became servants of David, and they start helping David. Now, this is Ammonites. Now, Ammonites' king died. The Ammonites' king was very friendly with David, so that David thought, if I am trying to help Saul's grandson, I can help this Ammonite's son also, because he was good with me. So what David does, sends some people. They go to the Ammonite's king and tell them, you know, David sent us to comfort you people, and your father was good with David, so he wants to show some compassion and some love. But in his kingdom, there are some noble people, also called officers, military officers, came to this king's son and say, hey, do you think that David loves you? And he loves your dad? And he wants to show sympathy? Don't be fooled. David sent these people as a spy, and they are going to spy your land, and you're going to be destroyed. So this man heard these other people and called these people and shaved their half a beard and cut their clothes from the back and sent them away. Now, those days, there was no telephone. There is no message can go that fast. But I was surprised. As soon as this thing happens, somebody goes and tells David, hey, you send the people there. And this is what the king did. And shaved half of the beard. And back their clothes are torn and things like that. So David got a little bit ashamed. So he said, tell these people to stay there, Jericho. Stay there until your beard is completely grown. And then come. He might have given some new clothes, but stayed there. And this news goes to the king's son, and he got scared. He said, hey, David didn't like this. So now David is going to come and fight with us. They are gathering the armies to fight with David. See how the people are crazy? Somebody wants to show some sympathy, show some love and show some kindness, but they are taking it differently. They're thinking, this man, he, one of our brother, Moabites, we heard that he killed so many Moabites people, let them lie down on the floor, and he killed them. And now I am one of his Moabites, and now I'm Ammonites. He might be doing the same thing. So instead of sending message to David, thank you, David. You are so loving and so kind, and you send these people. David might have sent some gift also, but doesn't say in this Bible. So he should have said, I'm so grateful, David. You are a great king, and you remember my dad, and we want to be friendly with you. We don't want to fight with you because you are a great king. We cannot fight. But these Ammonites people, they did not have the big army. So what they are doing, they are calling neighbor kings, and all the armies, they are gathering together to fight with David. This is foolish thing. Sometimes when you don't have strength to fight with somebody, what they do, they pay somebody to kill somebody. Or this man has to learn that I am just became a king, my father died, David is a great man, I cannot fight with David and win. So humble yourself. But instead of humbling himself, took the advice of the wrong people and see what he's doing. Let's read the verse 3.
And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanan their lord, Thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city, and to spy it out, and to overthrow it? Wherefore Hanan took David's servants, and shaved off the one half of their beards, and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. When they told it unto David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, Tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown, and then return. And when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth-Rahab and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and of King Maacah, 1,000 men, and of Ishtob, 12,000 men.
See what this man is doing. First of all, he toned their clothes, shaved their half a beard, and sent them away. And now he came to know that David is angry. So instead of saying, David, I'm sorry, we made a mistake, we should not be doing these things, but we did. Instead of that, he is calling the neighbor kings and getting the people from him. 20,000 from one king, 1,000 from somebody, and 12,000 for somebody. So he got almost 33,000 people. So he said, hey, now I'm a great man and I'm going to defeat David. This is a foolish thing, because if you don't have a strength and you got so many other people to help, and even though you win and get some loot, you are going to have fight in between, because you have to divide to everybody. So now this man is calling all these neighboring kings and asking them to help. And those people said, okay, some of them were defeated by David. Assyrian people were defeated. All those people were defeated people. So they were angry anyhow. They start thinking, okay, this is a good chance. Now you can be united, and we will defeat the David. See what happened. Verse 7.
And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. And the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array at the entering in of the gate, and the Syrians of Zobah and of Rahab and Ishtob and Maacah were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him before and behind, he chose of all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians.
Okay, now here we see this enemy got together. They are in front of their cities, and they behind the Israeli nations. And so they're surrounded by these enemies. And when this Joab, you know, the Joab was the captain of David's army. And Joab had a brother. There were three brothers. One brother was killed, and one brother's name is Abishai. If you remember the Abishai, when David was running from Saul and he wanted to go to Saul's camp, Abishai said, I'll come. I'll go with you. So he's a very courageous man. And Joab also a very courageous man. So now Joab and his brother Abishai, they are in the army. Joab is a captain and his brother is helper. He said, let's make two companies. You go and fight with one group of people, and I will fight with another group of people. In case, if I am getting defeated, I'll call help from you. So you come and help me. And if you are defeated, you call me and I'll come and help you. So what happened? These people start getting ready to fight with the enemy. And see what God is doing. Let's read.
And the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. And he said, If the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. Be of good courage, and let us play the men for our people, and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good. And Joab drew nigh unto the people that were with him unto the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him.
Okay, now see what happened here. They said, okay, what we're going to do, Joab is saying, we are not fighting for ourselves. We are fighting for Israeli people. We are fighting for the Israeli cities. We are fighting for God. We are not fighting for our name, but we want to protect our people fighting with the enemies, and see what happened. Verse 14.
And when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fled, then fled they also before Abishai entered into the city. So Joab returned from the children of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. And when the Syrians saw that they were smitten before Israel, they gathered themselves together.
Now, see what happens? Joab is fighting in one place. Abishai is fighting in one place. And when they saw Abishai and Joab, they ran for their life. So now they were almost defeated. And then Joab comes to Jerusalem. They say, well, we defeated those people and they are gone. But they said, we are not going to be defeated. We are going to get more people. So now they had only 33,000 or something. Now they going and talking to another king. And he has his captain, very strong man. So they ask him, could you come and help us? So he got his people like almost all together 47,000 people. They are coming. Now David is thinking, all these people, Abishai and Joab, they went and fought. Now it is my job. So he said, okay, you follow me. Let's go and defeat these people and see what happens. Verse 16.
And had Arezer sent and brought out the Syrians that were beyond the river. And they came to Helam. And Shobak, the captain of the host of Hadarezer, went before them. And when it was told to David, he gathered all Israel together and passed over Jordan and came to Helam. And the Syrians set themselves in array against David and fought with him. And the Syrians fled before Israel, and David slew the men of 700 chariots of the Syrians and 40,000 horsemen, and smote Shobak, the captain of their host, who died there.
See, David killed 700 people who are running the chariots and 40,000 enemies. So you can see the captain of that Hadarezer. His captain was so strong. David killed him and killed 7,000 chariot riders and 40,000 footmen. Means, and see what happens now. Verse 19.
And when all the servants, and when all the kings that were servants to Hadarezer saw that they were smitten before Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians feared to help the children of Ammon anymore.
Now they learned the lesson. We are not going to go and help Ammonites people anymore, because we went to help them and we got killed and we got destroyed. So now they are saying, we are going to be friendly with David, do not fight with David, and then we want to be your servant. And that's the way the battle finishes. We see David shows kindness to one person and he says, I'm your humble servant, and he got blessed. David shows the kindness to another person. He said, I don't want your kindness. I'm going to fight with you. And what happened? They were defeated. They were destroyed. So there is a saying, be an ant, humble, you can get a sugar. But if you want to be elephant, you will be cutting down the big tree and heavy load work. So things like that. So if you are humble like that, you get a sweet sugar. Shall we rise? Let's pray and ask God to make us humble, make us godly, so we can be blessed. Pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to come to the house of God. Bless the people who are already here. You know their needs. Be with us, sanctify us, and protect us from all the dangers and harms. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated.